This number out tonight with your Bibles. Always a joy on Sunday evening before the work week gets started to come together and to study. And if you have your New Testament, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, that's where we'll begin in just a moment, 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to feel at ease, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song Brother Stillman has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. The book of 1 Peter in the 4th chapter. In a few moments, before we begin our study, I do want it to be known that anytime you feel that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you think that I state something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. I recognize I'm human, I make mistakes, made many before. And yet at the same time, I have the obligation to preach the truth. And if something's said that we may disagree on, we can disagree without being disagreeable, but we need to recognize God's word as right. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. One thing that I always state when I proclaim the gospel of Christ is that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And when one speaks as given the Scripture, he is speaking the Word of God. And I believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is the absolute authority in every realm of our faith. I believe that the Bible is the pattern that we are to follow in the purpose of the local church and how we're to live our lives to give God glory. And this has been called by some a conservative view. And one of the definitions would be opposed to change. And I believe that when you look at the Bible, we need to leave the book just as it is. Some people have called that antiism or being opposed to change. But I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that God has given us His book. He's left us a pattern that we should follow it, that we may give Him glory. And then I recognize there's another view. There are some who say, let's hold to the book and follow the pattern. And then there are others who are more progressive, or what they might have we call a liberal view. And that would deny that we must follow the Scripture in all matters. And that would lead to the view that you do not have to follow the pattern. If you take your Bible this evening, if you turn to the book of Acts and the 8th chapter, I want to read with you a statement made by Philip. When Philip is going down and he sees the Ethiopian eunuch, notice he asked him a very important question. When the eunuch is riding along in the chariot and he's reading Isaiah, Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? Now, if there's no pattern and there's no absolute truth, then what did it matter if he understood it or not? Philip understood that he had to understand the Word of God to follow the pattern. And so tonight I want to talk about following the pattern and the fear that many have today of leaving that pattern and going in the opposite view of what God's Word has clearly stated. If you take your Old Testament this evening, look in the book of Exodus and the 25th chapter. And when you go back to the Old Testament, we can find through several examples that God is a God of order, that God has given man a pattern to follow, that God has left in His Word that which man can understand and that which man can follow. In your Bible in Exodus 25, you'll find that God gave a pattern to how to make the tabernacle. In verse 8, He said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it. God, when He directed them to make something, He gave them a direct command and He said, follow My pattern. He didn't leave it up to their decision. He didn't say, you know what's best. But God said, I want you to make it according to My specific guidelines. Then if you take your Bible, looking back in the book of Genesis and the 3rd chapter,
And time won't permit us to look at all the times God has given a specific pattern. You can see it with Noah and the ark. You can see it in other things God commanded. But look back in Genesis chapter 3. And notice that God, when He made the Garden of Eden, He gave a command to the people, Adam and Eve. And He said, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat except one. He said, there's one in the midst of the garden. You're not to eat of that tree. And the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, I want you to look and notice, God gave them a pattern. God said, if you leave the pattern, you disobey me, He said, then there will be consequence to that sin. Of all the other trees you can eat, but I forbid one. And notice that when they ignored the pattern, they disobeyed God, they went contrary to God, they didn't keep God's word, they didn't conserve what God said, but they progressed away from God, that they violated God's law, and thus there was consequence. I want us to understand that there needs to be a warning about departing from the pattern of God. That in our day and time when many people do not consider God's pattern, they need to recognize God's word is that which we must follow our lives by. We pattern our lives by His holy word. Notice in the New Testament some words given. Look, if you will, in the book of Jude. And when you come to the little book of Jude, notice verse 3. In Jude verse 3, Jude writing said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all to the saints. Look at what he is saying. He is saying he needed to understand they needed to contend for the faith. They needed to hold to the pattern. They didn't need to depart. They didn't need to go back. They didn't need to leave what God had specifically gave them. Now I want you to look at one more verse. If you take your Bible, look in the book of Galatians and the first chapter. And when you come to Galatians chapter 1, notice if you will that Paul is writing. And Paul is concerned about some who are leaving the faith. And look at what he says in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to, watch it, pervert the gospel of Christ. They're adulterating it, they're changing it, they're corrupting it. And he said that which was pure, the pattern, has been distorted, and you're turning away from the truth. You're turning away from Christ. And then notice what he says in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Anathema. He said, let anyone who leads others astray, leads them away from the pattern, let that individual be cursed. Now then, do we see the importance of following the pattern? And I know that time won't permit me to think of all the passages we could talk about tonight, but I want us to get that one line of thought in our mind tonight, the danger of leaving the pattern. Then look in your Bible for one more passage. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2 for just a moment. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at the statement made in verse 1. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in, look at that, destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow the destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Paul warned in 2 Timothy 4, he said that there will be those who desire hearing teachers that will itch their ears. Here Peter talks about false teachers who will lead people astray. And notice the warning. They're taking people away from the pattern. And notice why. Look at verse 10. In 2 Peter 2 verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Underscore, despise authority. You know that there are a lot of people tonight in Shelbyville, Tennessee, who don't follow the pattern of God's word because they don't despise what God has said. They think they know better how to worship God than God. They think that God's commands are tedious or boresome, and thus they change the pattern. And I want us to recognize that it's clear from the Scripture, time and time again, that departures will come from those who hold liberal views and those who say there is no pattern. Now, for the remainder of our time, I want us to think about what has happened. Why is it that people want to leave the pattern? I've watched men say there's no pattern in the field of religion. But if you find it strange, there's a pattern for everything else. I love to watch football, and I like to watch basketball, and I like to play tennis every now and again and hit the golf ball. But you know what else I've noticed in every field of sport? There's a pattern. There's rules that must be kept. There are guidelines to those things. And yet we want to say in the field of religion, there is no pattern. Why would there be a pattern in such things as sports, but when it comes to something as important as religion, we want to say there is no pattern? So what I want us to do is think about the pattern God has left us. The first thing I want us to think about, the pattern God has left us, was with the organization of the church. Have you ever thought God has left us a pattern to follow? You remember in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, Paul said that they need to be elders in each local congregation. Now there may be some local churches that do not have men qualified, and thus they have to have a business meetings. But notice the pattern God left, the desire of God, is that there be men qualified to lead and shepherd the local flock. But then notice in your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5, that the elders are to look after the flock, serving, he says, as overseers in verse 2, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And notice how they do it in verse 1. Notice that he says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Look at that, among you. The local flock here. We have elders at Eastside. Now, what do these elders do? They oversee the flock here. They don't oversee any other local church. Why? Because the pattern is they oversee the flock among them. And I'll tell you, here's the liberal view. One church thinks they can oversee the work of another local church. That's not the pattern. Here's some churches that believe in the sponsoring church. And they'll say, well, this big congregation can oversee this small congregation because they don't have elders. I'll tell you, my friend, that's leaving the pattern. That's not following God's will. God's pattern is sufficient for the church to do everything that is included in the purpose of God. So the local church here at Eastside doesn't answer to any other body. Isn't that wonderful tonight? We answer to Christ, and that's all we answer to. Sometimes I've had preachers call me about some issue, and they'll say, well, what are you going to do about it? And you know what I've told some of them? That's our business, and we'll tend to it. I've had some of them not like that. But I want to tell you, that's the pattern. But then I want you to think about with worship. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 4th chapter, in verse 24, notice that Jesus says that we're to worship God in spirit and truth. That's how worship is done. So when I read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, unto Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ. I recognize I follow the pattern. So tonight when we got up, someone might say, well, why didn't you have the piano or the drums? One reason. I don't see it in the pattern. I read in Colossians chapter 3 and I read in Ephesians chapter 5 that God wants me to sing from the heart. I see the word sing. I know that's approved. So to add anything else is leaving the pattern. Adding something is going beyond what I know God wants. I have no authority to go beyond what is written. Isn't that something? Anytime you go beyond what is written, you're taking liberties God has not given you. And I must remember the church belongs to Christ. It doesn't belong to me. I have no right to add to God's word or God's way. And so if God is satisfied with the words that come from my mouth and that come from my heart, that is sufficient. Why do we want to add music? Because we want to please our ears. That goes back to wanting our ears scratched, doesn't it? God is interested in the heart. Man is interested in the entertainment. Oh, I've listened to the music, and I know it could just make a tingle go down your spine. But I think about it from this perspective. If when I sing, it doesn't do something to my heart, then maybe my heart's not where it needs to be. Have you ever thought, my friend, you're starting to hear the sounds of music in local churches, and what that is people not keeping the pattern? They're saying it's a matter of opinion. I say, no, my friend, it's a matter of leaving the pattern God has given us. Now, someone might say, I don't see the big deal, and that's the problem. We're using man's logic instead of God's wisdom. And we think we can improve upon what God has said. And that leaves the pattern. But then when you think about the local work of the church, the liberal view towards the Bible has led churches to be involved in every work one can imagine. Giving to colleges, giving to all these entertainment things, and I want you to recognize there's no divine authority for it. You know, some places make the church building nothing more than a dignified country club. And I'll tell you what that is, that's leaving the pattern. Can you show me in the Bible where we, as the local church, are in charge of providing social activities? No. We can do that on our own. The work of the church is spiritual. And any time we change the work, even if it draws a large crowd, if we leave the pattern to do it, we're not following God's will. Now tonight, we could have had the Valentine present. We could have done a lot of things, but I'll tell you what. We have no such authority. If I want to please God, I follow the pattern. And when I leave the pattern, I leave the Bible, then I'll tell you what, you can have any view you want. Then you don't have to ask, do you understand what you read? You can just interpret it any way you want to interpret it. But then you think about morals. And you can think about the liberal views towards morals. In 1 Timothy 3, when Paul is writing, he talks about those who will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and you think about how they're going to lower their morality. And you think about the morals of our day. Look at the dress of today. And then think about how people today don't show the respect for their own bodies. I've had some people ask me questions about modest dress. And you know what I tell them? Just dress to be a Christian. If I was going to get my car fixed over here, and I drove in, and there was some big buff fella, and he's wearing a white dress, you know what I'd do? I'd put my car in reverse, and I'd go to someone wearing a mechanic outfit. But now if I go to the hospital, and the nurse is wearing a mechanic's outfit, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to another place where she's dressed like a nurse. Dress for the role you are. And if you're a Christian, dress like a Christian. And to think about in our day and time, some of the things that are going on, we need to remember that God has given us a pattern. God hates divorce. God hates immorality. God hates a lot of the things that man is wanting to approve of. But then I want you to think about something else. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And when I come to 1 Timothy 2, this will make a lot of people mad, but I want us to think this is God's plan. There's no doubt women have a role in the local church. Titus 2 shows us that. They can do it in the local classroom. They can do it in the home. But today, even here in Franklin, Tennessee, we hear about women's preachers. But notice that God's pattern for women to have their role hasn't changed. Culture doesn't change God's pattern. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy 2. And notice this is the word of God. One time I spoke on this back in 96 and had someone get mad at me, but it's what God says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at what he says in verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now why? He said, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived, fell into transgression. Now my friend, is that being a male chauvinist? No. That's showing that God has a role, and they have different roles. And that God says, you live the role I've given you. Now then, let's take that, make three or four thoughts in the lesson, Jews. The first thing I want to tell you is there's no joy in departure. Some of us who have seen division know the heartache there is. And any time the church of my Lord is torn asunder, there's heartbreak. So maybe tonight you have a view and you think, I don't see anything wrong with it. I want to raise a question. Would your view be worth splitting the body of Christ? If someone says, I don't see the pattern, and you say, well, I think it's a matter of opinion, would you be willing to split this local church because of your view? I want you to remember, my friend, to tear the body of Christ asunder is a sin. Secondly, it's sad to see some turn from the pattern that each church is independent. Now we've come up with creeds, and sometimes they're unwritten creeds. What we need to do is go back to the pattern. Not back to man's idea of how the pattern should be, but back to the pattern itself. I have some people go back to what Alexander Campbell said. I don't care what Alexander Campbell said. I want to go back to the pattern. Go back to what God has said. That is sufficient. But third, I need to believe the Word is essential in all matters of life. If there's no pattern, then any way one goes is right. If there's no wrong way, there's no right way. And that may sound good, but it is not the way of the Bible. God is not the author of confusion. And do you understand what you read? Does it matter? Yes, it matters if you're going to follow the pattern. And every departure from the pattern is sin. You can call someone a legalist for following the pattern. I've been called. I've been called an anti, I've been called a legalist, but I want to ask you something. The difference between a Pharisee and a Christian trying to follow the pattern is great. The Pharisees made their own rules. The legalist is adding to God's word. And no doubt people say that is wrong, just as wrong to declare no pattern and take away from what God has said. But the individual who seeks to sincerely follow God's word is not a legalist. You know what he is? He's a disciple. What did Jesus say in John 6? What did Jesus say in Matthew 16, 24? Come, follow me. What did Peter say in 1 Peter 2? Walk in his footsteps. It's God's pattern. You know what my plea is at Eastside? Young men, young ladies, as you grow older, remember the pattern. Culture doesn't change God's word. God's Word is as up-to-date as it's ever been and ever needs to be. And His Word doesn't change. In a world that's changing, in a world that's corrupt, in a world that people look around and say, we don't need to follow any rules, you remember, everything God has given us is for our good. Every command He's given us is for our good. And what we need is to follow the pattern for our life. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we pray you'll follow the pattern and be baptized as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.